guests joining us in the studio for real.
Absolutely.
And pleased to have with us this morning Stefano Tiarina from the Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine and the University of Maine. How are you, Stefano?
It's good to see you. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you coming in this morning. An event in West Market Square this evening. It is, in fact, a vigil for Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, and five Dallas police officers killed in the line of duty. It's hard to even comprehend that the level of violence that has been on the front pages over the last week to 2 weeks has really become almost a matter of course. This is the sort of violence that we see day in and day out. There have been circumstances surrounding the deaths of these seven individuals that has made it really sort of explode into our national consciousness. But this sort of thing transpires every single day in the United States. And I don't know what is more discouraging, sir.
Yeah, I agree. And to add to it, now you have this sort of bipolar world between police and then victims of police violence. And then where do you, now you're forced to choose teams. And it's ridiculous because when people die, you're not supposed to choose teams and say who is the better one to die and who is the worst one to die. But here we are in that debate. Obama struggles even to say yesterday in Dallas that he was upset about the police violence and he gets criticized for it. And it's just a bad position, a catch-22 that you should not even be in a position to be in. So it's sad. It's really sad.
The politicization of this violence is also very discouraging. But I guess it seems there is little that happens in our country today, really across the world today, that isn't at some level politicized. And that seems to be a real driving factor in some of the this ever-widening division that we seem to face in society. It's pitting one group against another group, and then once again, one group against another group, and it's really sort of it really sort of fractures any opportunity to have a level of unity that we should be striving for every single day.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And projecting it to the future, this is sort of like the appetizer of what will be the political electoral debate, because basically we're already fractured. Now we'll be even more fractured as the two policy leaders on the two sides begin to break the country into the Hillary's, the Trump's, and then whoever is not one, then is the bad guy. Whoever is favoring one is good, the other one is bad, and it's just going to become messy. I was listening to the radio yesterday. It was a podcast from the BBC, and they were interviewing some people that were in Dallas buying guns and doing a exercise at the shooting range because it skyrocketed, and they interviewed some people, and they were saying, yeah, we're preparing because the elections are going to be basically a return to a civil war, and so we need to have our guns ready. And then the other side was saying, we need to have our guns because next time a police stops me, then I'm going to make sure that I shoot first if I see the policeman pulling the gun at me. So to me, it's just and then that media feeds this to the public and just builds the snowball and builds the snowball, makes it even worse.
That really has become, I think, a central issue here, the media portrayal of these events, because it's so easy for what is an otherwise isolated incident that directly involves a mere handful of individuals being blown up, being stretched and pulled completely out of proportion. And as soon as it lands on the internet, on the headlines of print copy newspapers, all over cable television, it becomes a flashpoint.
Yeah.
For the creation of just ongoing strife. And you know, you talk about the political divisions as people, you know, post up and you know, Team Hillary and Team Trump, and then you actually have you know, divisions within those camps, because you got people who have been the supporters of Bernie Sanders throughout the process up until his announcement yesterday that he's throwing his support behind Hillary Clinton as the Democratic candidate. And now you have a number of Bernie Sanders supporters who just don't want to accept that and are creating division within the ranks of the Democratic Party. And on the Republican side of things, you have Trump, who just by his mere presence has created division. And then as he looks to select the vice presidential candidate, that's going to be a selection that creates a tremendous amount of division. It just seems to get worse. Where's the light at the end of the tunnel here? I'm having a hard time seeing it, sir.
I don't see it either. At the progressive community conversations with people involved in other social issues, the light's not there. Actually, it's becoming darker and darker and darker. And you know, it shouldn't be this way, because I was reflecting before coming here, when the civil rights movement, the police acted violently on people, but life moved on. People reacted violently on policemen. We are violent by nature, okay, but to inflate it and to make it what it is not becomes crazier. You know, in the Gilded Age, there was violence on one side and the other. And go back in history more and more and more, when the first institution of the police was created. And that institution itself created tension with society, because you give authority to people to execute violence on civil society. And that in itself just creates tension. Yeah. And from then onward, it's a reality. But to inflate it to the level that it is today, it's just dangerous, I would think.
The vigil that's scheduled for tonight, 6 p.m. tonight,
yes,
West Market Square in Bangor, it provides a much-needed opportunity for some real reflection here. People can get together. They can share their thoughts. They can express their concern for the families, the people who are immediately impacted as a result of the killings that have taken place over the last couple of weeks. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity for Bangor as a community to show its ability to rise above any sort of particular differences that are swirling around this entire subject, and to simply have a peaceful moment in the midst of our city.
Yes, it's a moment for many to sort of release that anger, that tension, that stress, that confusion with a community, feel that you are part of a community. It's also an opportunity to show that civil society and the police are a part of a community, and that we are not enemies. And if you see it visually, then things might change in your head. Also, the fact that that we remember and educate ourselves and reflect on the fact that this stuff should not happen, that violence is not the way, that violence is not the solution, both from the civil society and the police forces, to remind each other that there are more peaceful ways of negotiating a conflict, for sure. But we haven't, you know, we... This becomes a repetition, these vigils. We had one for Orlando. We had one now. We'll have one maybe in the future, and another one in the future. How effective is this cycle?
You took the words out of my mouth.
Is this cycle?
And is that where you know, some there's reason for well, additional concern, because when you have people of peace who wish to get together participate in a vigil like the one that's happening this evening, and there becomes a recognition that, hey, we were here 3 weeks ago. Hey, we were here 6 months ago. Hey, we were here yesterday. Hey, we're probably going to be here tomorrow. You can appreciate that that creates a level of frustration, even amongst some of the coolest heads within society.
Yes, of course. And at some point, what will happen is that we will become accustomed to the violence, like it happens in other much more violent places. I grew up in Colombia, where what happened in Dallas, what happened in the other cities last week was normal, was a daily bread, and so you lose your humanity. The United States coming to the United States as an expat, as a teenager, and later on as an adult, I saw the United States as a very community-driven society that really felt things, that really reacted to humanitarian and human rights violations, and I felt that this was a very unique place compared to where I was coming from. But I slowly, in the last, I would say the last 2 or 3 years or so, it seems like we're going back to where I came from in Colombia, where you become desensitized completely. And God forbid, 10, 15 years from now, we might be completely desensitized and not even be talking about this stuff, and everybody's killing each other and dying, and nobody will say anything. So there's also that risk that if you don't do these vigils and you do them all the time and remind people that that this is not good, you know, then you become desensitized.
That's why participation in tonight's vigil becomes even more important. It's scheduled for 6 p.m. West Market Square in downtown Bangor. From the event page on Facebook, the Bangor Racial and Economic Justice Coalition holding a vigil in honor of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, two black men recently killed by police in Baton Rouge and Minneapolis, and also in honor of 5 police officers killed at what was an otherwise peaceful Black Lives Matter protest in Dallas, Texas. Stefano, can you stick around for a little bit?
Yes, I'll stick around.
Our regular Wednesday guy, Bangor Police Officer Jason McCambly, in the studio this morning, and we're going to continue this conversation on the other side.